I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you because you are
a Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you.
From Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Muslim Lady from IRIB English Radio. And our info is based on tradition. Today, we are going to continue the discussion on modesty. And we have in our studio Sister Salma Khalfan, who is in fact my aunt. Welcome to the program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you so much for inviting me over. Inshallah, we will have a nice discussion about women, get to know each other better also in the process.
Inshallah. Thank you so much. So in our previous program, we were talking about modesty and chastity and hijab. And we had some very beautiful traditions from the Prophet and Imam Ali, one of which was saying that modesty is the whole of religion, just to, you know, amplify the importance and the magnanimity of, you know, modesty and what it really is. You spoke a lot about modesty, and it really, I felt, made me feel that we really have to try and work hard on ourselves, us who we feel that we are already wearing our hijab. That is not the only thing. There is so much modesty, like it has its roots to everything. So you are going to continue with us, inshallah, a bit more on this.
Yes, today I would like to talk about the importance of this hijab itself, okay? So to see how important it Islam gives hijab in the Sharia, okay, it is enough to see how other rules and regulations are also modified to change and preserve this principle of hijab.
Okay.
Yeah, other rules and regulations in the Sharia. So, for example, number one, praying in the mosque is better than in the house, of course.
Yeah.
You know that. And its reward goes on increasing as the gathering of the jama'ah increases the congregation.
Very true.
But for the women, the opposite is correct. Why? To preserve their hijab. There is more reward in house and in the veranda of the house rather than going to the mosque. Why? Because she would be looked at probably. But yeah, if she knows that she has a mosque very much nearby, she wouldn't be looked at. So that's another thing. But mostly it happens so that men and women are mixed in the road, right?
Yeah.
So,
or for instance, when she's going to the mosque and there are many men waiting outside, you know, going inside, and she, so she has to like judge it by herself. Now, right now, for instance, in Qum, when we want to go to namaz in Haram, it is different, I guess, because everyone is covered. Everyone, it's a known place. We're all going to the Haram for ziyarah.
There are different entrances for both men and women.
Exactly.
So it does play a role. But yeah, mostly it's the opposite. For women to pray at home is more thawab. And it becomes a mosque for her.
Okay.
Yeah? So it's very good. So this the Sharia. So you see how it is modified.
Yeah.
Then there's another law, that is the Adhan and Iqama, before the daily five prayers are very much emphasized.
Yeah.
But women are exempted from it. If they opt to say Adhan and Iqama, of course they can do so in their own homes when there's no ghayr mahram to hear their voice. But otherwise, they're not allowed. They're only allowed to whisper it.
Okay.
It's so much sawab, you know, for Adhan and Iqama to be recited. It's like there's a congregation of angels behind you from the earth to the skies. The distance is so long.
SubhanAllah.
And they pray behind a person who recites Adhan and Iqama loudly.
Yeah.
That's very good. But for a woman, she has to take care that
she has to try and recite it slowly.
Yeah. And if she's at home where there's no mahram, ghayr mahram, na mahram, then it's okay. She can recite it. But we don't see women doing it in mosques, do we?
No,
never,
no, we don't.
Right? And then another law is that it is wajib, incumbent for men to recite the first two rakats of Fajr, Maghrib and Isha, the sets of prayer, loudly, the first two sets of prayer.
Okay.
The Surah Alhamd and the But women are required to pray in whispers only.
Mm.
So that is also one. Another law is Friday prayer is wajib-e-aini, like it has to be done in the presence of imam or his appointed deputy.
The emphasis is greater for men.
Yeah, but women are exempted from this wajib.
If Imam will come, we are not. It's not going to be completely wajib for us to pray.
Yeah, they're exempted from it because of their chastity, of course. Mm. And then there's ghusl mayyit. It is important that the person giving the funeral bath be a Muslim. But if a Muslim woman dies and they are male ghayr mahram Muslims and female Christians, then the Christian woman should be asked to take a bath. Give ghusl to the Muslim women.
Oh.
That much important it is that a woman only should see a woman.
Yeah. And not a man. No.
But of course, another alim, Muhakkik Hildi, does not agree with this. He says that the ghusl mayyat is an ibadah and it needs intention of kurbatan ilallah, which from a kafir is not correct. So non-Muslim women cannot give a Muslim woman this funeral bath. So instead of allowing Muslim men should give her ghusl, he says that the dead body should be buried without the ghusl.
Oh.
Yeah, that much so. So the chastity of the woman is maintained, of course, yeah?
Yeah. By mahram, you mean those people
who are close relatives to her, closely connected to her, blood relatives, like, and there are specific ones, like the uncles from both the parents' side.
Okay.
And the father, the husband,
so the mother's brother, or the father's brother.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Not cousins, or the brother's children, your niece, your nephews, those are mahram. And now mahram are those who are, for instance, your mother's sister's husband. That is a namahram.
Mahram comes from the haram. Haram is where you live together under one roof.
Your close, complete family.
And also you share secrets.
Okay.
But there could be nothing better for a woman to give a woman a ghusl. Or, of course, the spouses to each other. And then there's a great reward in carrying the bier of a Muslim. That is the tabut of a Muslim.
Or the coffin.
Yeah, the coffin. And walking in his funeral or the procession of the funeral. But women, again, are exempted from that.
Okay.
Yeah. Exempted as in she will get the same sawab for it.
Okay.
So whether even she likes it, sometimes women feel like going.
She would like to go, but if she doesn't go.
Because of the fact that she will come across many men and they might even, push her or, touch her or something like that, by mistake even, it's good to avoid such situations.
Okay.
Please send any suggestion, any idea to our email that is englishradio@irib.ir.
And then another law is, in ihram, the woman is not allowed to cover her face. But as Muhakkik Thani Karaki has written, this rule does not mean being seen by ghayr mahram is allowed. Ayatollah Abul Qasim Al-Khoi writes that when the woman wants to hide herself from ghayr mahram in ihram, she may pull down a corner of her ihram on her face and chin, but it is ahwat, better and more precautionary, that she put her hand on some other thing to keep the cloth away from her face. So in ihram also,
like, these exemptions have come that if she wants to cover her face, there are ways of doing it. Even though it's not allowed to really cover, but for women it's exempted.
And then last but not least, jihad, that is fighting the way of Allah, is the most liked ibadah, the act of worship. But women are exempted from the fighting, and the best jihad of a woman is to take care of her husband.
Okay.
So this is the way, in the confinement of the home, she can do her jihad. And of course, the greater jihad is for everyone, and that's the nafs,
Yeah, jihad with the nafs.
Yeah. I'd also like to point out about the ideal hijab according to some traditions, the ideal hijab. So the ultimate or the ideal hijab may be understood from these traditions that I'm quoting. Hijab means cover, right?
The covering.
Yeah, covering, yeah. Here we're talking about the outward ideal hijab. So we can understand this from the following traditions. One is that when the Holy Prophet was in his house and Umm Salma's and Maymuna's house, a blind companion, Abdullah ibn Maktoum, he sought permission to come to the Holy Prophet's house. So the Prophet ﷺ told the above mentioned mothers of the believers, that is Umm Salma and Maymuna, to hide themselves. So they said, but he is blind.
Yeah.
So the Prophet said, are you also blind? Would you not see him?
Yeah.
So here, what is it saying? That you see, the actual ideal hijab is a woman even doesn't see a man. and a man even doesn't see him. Mm-hmm. That's why the Quranic ayat stresses kullil mu'minat yaghdhudna min absarihinna.
It's like even if he's blind, but just coming in front of an mahram and not being in a modesty, like a, in a modest manner, it's just not very proper.
Yeah, and even it kind of gives this sense to women that don't think that if you're in hijab now, you can do whatever you want.
Mm.
You have to even lower your eyes, right?
Yeah,
so we have to try to practice this, I think. To lower our eyes, however funny it appears to be, but when you're talking to men, a bit lower our
gaze.
Yeah. But if it's very important and you have to see him, then you have to speak with a serious tone, and of course, you have to not ever have the intention of all any other than, you know, like what you're talking about. Then there's another tradition of Imam Ali alayhi salam, who said that once a blind man in company of the Holy Prophet asked permission of Fatima, Hazrat Fatima to Zahra, to enter her house. So she stopped him until she covered herself. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, "Why did you stop him? He cannot see you." This was just a test, of course. He knew his daughter, right?
Yeah.
So she said, "Although he cannot see me, I can see him. And moreover, if I don't hide, he might feel my scent."
Oh.
Yeah. So that smell even is very important, that sometimes a woman naturally has a good scent. And of course, what to speak of Hazrat Fatima Zahra, who's the Lady of Heaven.
Definitely.
So the Holy Prophet said, "I bear witness that you are a part of me."
SubhanAllah. Yeah.
That much he was so happy and proud of his daughter to show this kind of moral behavior in her. Then there's another tradition. It's very important, you see. This is giving us the ideal hijab.
And they're so beautiful to hear.
Yeah. Because of all Ahlul Bayt, of course.
Yes.
So once the Holy Prophet asked her, that is Bibi Fatima Zahra, what is the best of for a woman? Best for a woman.
Yeah.
So she replied that she does not see a man and no man sees her.
Whoa.
So the Prophet said, offspring one from the other. Huh? That she does not see a man and no man sees her. So this can be, for example, applied to us also. That if we avoid our gazes, so when will the men see us?
Yeah.
Right? We should avoid the gaze so that the men cannot be interested to seeing us. Unless we come and we straightly see a man and gaze or talk or want to talk or start a conversation, that's when the men will want to even reply, right?
Exactly. And it just shows that there is really no need for doing this. There is, why should we want to do it? Like, so she's just, I guess, Bibi Fatima is trying to tell us, look, this is something that shouldn't be done, Aslan.
More so, it shouldn't be done.
Yeah. So if it's done, there, it should be because of a very important reason.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why Islam encourages that, you know, women should be even professionally acquainted with the, you know, jobs of women.
Yeah.
For example, in the school, or girls, there should be a person who's so educated that she can be a headmistress, right?
Yes.
Or a gynecologist woman. She's needed, right?
Yeah.
So this is to encourage her that you are also socially acceptable. And you can even contribute to the society.
Very true.
But you don't need to intermingle with men, apart from the people who is very important or who are your mahram. So this shows that this is also one of the ideal hijab that I feel can be practiced even today. And that's why it's makruh for a man to do salam to a woman, you know?
Yeah.
He wants to raise a conversation. Salam is also like a warmth, a kind of a gesture of warmth. Peace be on you. You know, it shows kind of an affection, right? So he doesn't want to show that he has the affection, even the least bit, to a woman.
I guess that's all the time that we have. Inshallah, till our next episode, we hope to continue this. Thank you very much. And thank you, dear audience, for listening. God bless you all and fi amanillah.
Who is the lover? Allah. Who is Ar-Rahman? Allah. Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. Allah is our return.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity. Quran speaks about women.
Allah.
the Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammad is the messenger, so Allah is our return.
The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men, and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.